9:30 on a Monday morning, and for half of the month, the second and fourth Mondays at least, that means it's time for City Matters, an opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time with City Manager Mike Bailey and members of the staff and or management of the city. And first, Mike, thanks for coming in this morning and bringing members of your staff with you.
Good morning, Charlie, and thank you. We always enjoy being here, and we're all a little weepy-eyed here, Charlie.
Really?
We were told this morning that this might be our last radio program with Charlie Tarbloody. Is this true?
Well, it is. It could be true. I'm ceasing my full-time employment here in a couple of weeks. However, because of just scheduling and somebody getting married in June and that sort of thing, I will return as a Fig Newton of your imagination for a week or two here and there and now and then.
So maybe the stars will align and we'll have one more radio program.
It is possible.
Right?
Yeah, it is possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, everybody here heard that. Charlie will be back for our radio program, so it's you have to now.
Okay.
I think I've already lectured you on you didn't consult with any of us, and we're offended that you're leaving without talking to us about it first.
Well, I appreciate your concern. Thank you.
We're not sure we're okay with it, but I guess we're going to have to learn to live with it, Charlie. But we will certainly miss you, my friend.
We really will. I have made a concerted effort over 22 plus years to involve myself in this community, and it is rough to extricate oneself after that length of time.
Well, you don't have to. You can stay here. I know your wife has moved, yeah. But she would probably let you stay both places if you wanted to.
And you may discuss that with her.
Okay. You give her, what's your number, Terry? I'll have her call you. This is Terry's idea. It's not mine.
I appreciate you giving credit to somebody, whether it was, in fact, their idea or not.
Well, good morning. As I said, we're all a little somber here because we really will miss you, but we've got a few things we've got to talk about today. So
okay.
We'll try to
do our best to cover those topics as best we can.
Chief's over here holding back his tears, so I'll give him a minute here so that he can recover himself. But, Charlie, we have a couple of things coming up that I know people definitely do not want to miss. The first one is that we have the free leaf and grass collection. And we talk about this pretty much every time I'm in here because invariably we will have some people who miss this, and it is this is not an event if you have bags of grass and limbs and things that you want to get rid of that you want to miss.
So, and springtime is one of those times of the year, kind of like when all the leaves are falling off the trees, that
right.
People scalp their yards and tend to want to bag that grass clipping and whatever else stuff it is there that goes in the bags and dispose of it in some environmentally friendly way when possible.
You are exactly right. And we've made allowances for this. Of course, when we switched to the polycart system, it's been quite a while now, probably close to 10 years. One of the concerns that citizens had was being able to get rid of yard waste in the spring and the fall. So this was an allowance that we made, and we've continued this ever since. And it really is a great program. But from the week of May 6th through 10th, you can put out your leaves and your yard waste, as many bags as you have. Just set them out on your normal collection day. It won't require stickers that day.
Okay.
And we will come by and pick those up. So that's May 6th through 10th on your normal collection day. If you have questions, you can call 918-338-4130. This is just for residences. This is not for commercial collection. No commercial collection will be made that day, but we will do all of our residential collections. And Charlie, we've also got a dedication coming up, and unfortunately this had to be canceled in the fall due to some weather. So we're hopeful that the weather will hold this week and that it will go off. But there is a dedication of the Civitan Park Pavilion that will be this Friday, this will be hosted by the Bartlesville Civitan Club. For the citizens that don't know, the reason that it's called Civitan Park, or affectionately called Dinosaur Park by the local kids, but it is officially dubbed Civitan Park because the money for this park was raised by our local Civitan, the Bartlesville Civitan Club. In addition to that, they have since then actually raised money to put a shade structure up, which was the large canvas shade structure. And then they most recently, they raised the money for a pavilion to be added out there. So for anybody who saw last week, the shade structure was in tatters.
Damaged by the winds.
That's right, yep. So it was damaged by the winds, and we're currently working through that to see what can be done. But regardless of that, unless weather permitting, there will be a dedication this Friday, and the public is welcome to attend.
The forecast is always subject to change, particularly this far out. But as of this moment, the forecast that's in front of me says sunshine and a high near 77 for Friday. So
that would be good. Okay. Let's be hopeful for that. So, but that it will be at Civitan Park, starts about 12:15 that day. And again, this is a great park. And it shows what can happen when the citizens of a community or in a club get involved. They raised the money for this. This is an 100% ADA accessible park, the only one in Bartlesville that's 100% ADA accessible. And additionally, the money for the shade structure and the money for the pavilion were both raised by the Civitan Park or the Civitan Club. And then on top of that, the installation of the pavilion. There were a lot of contributors to that as well. So the companies that actually installed that, they actually took a 30% discount on their costs so that this could be installed within budget. So we're very thankful to all of those groups and truly do appreciate them. It's sort of a jewel of our community, and I think is very unique to Bartlesville. And I know when my kids were young, that was actually their favorite park. So it was interesting.
I could see how that could be a lot of youngsters' favorite park.
Absolutely. It was built as an ADA accessible park, but frankly, it's one of our most popular parks. So hopefully everybody can join us out there on Friday. I know there's a couple of conflicts. I believe there's actually a chamber event there that I'm going to have to figure out how to juggle.
But duplicate yourself.
we divide and conquer on those. So. Well,
bring Mr. Gordon out of retirement and send him to one of them.
There we go. I like that. and he would like that. He would like that, Charlie. Well, I've got as you mentioned earlier, Charlie, I've got several staff members here with me. I have Chief John Banks, who's here. And Chief, we last Friday we had a ceremony to honor the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing. That was Friday, right? You're looking at me like
Friday.
I lost my mind.
Yeah, it was Friday.
You're scaring me.
he had a busy and probably pleasant Easter weekend and just had to get past all those Easter
memories.
That's
it. He had to clear all that out because he was starting to panic me. There was no clarity in his eyes, Charlie. He was making me a little nervous.
What are you talking about again?
So we had a ceremony at Friday at 9:05.
Yep.
It really was a great ceremony, Chief. You guys do a great job. It was solemn, but it's very, very well done.
Yeah, here a few years ago, we put together an honor guard. I guess they've been together close to 3 years now. Four of the eight members we have been to the National Honor Guard Academy. So we tried to do it right, get these guys well trained so they can look very professional and be proud of what they do and stuff. And they, here a few years ago when we got that started, that was one of the things that they wanted to make sure they honored and brought memory to those people that lost their lives that day. So every year on the 19th, we have a little ceremony out in front of Central Fire Station. Doesn't last long. It's pretty short, to the point, but it serves a purpose, and it reminds everybody of how tragic event that actually was, terrorist attack, as far as I see it.
Largest terrorist attack on U.S. soil, as I recall.
Yep, absolutely. Up until September 11th, it was.
And it's surprising that it's been 24 years. You know, I was looking at that, and I thought, my goodness. You know, 90, I mean, I was...
94?
95.
95.
Yeah.
95.
And,
wow. Yeah.
You know, I was actually on duty at Station 3 the morning that happened. And we had some guys respond down there and help out with that. So anyway, it's something they've wanted to do every year, and so we do that. And we also do a memorial service for the 9/11 attacks in September.
Right.
So just so happened this year it fell on Good Friday.
Good Friday.
I was amazed at the crowd we had. I really thought
impressive.
Maybe with it being a holiday, and people being out of town traveling for Easter and stuff, that maybe our crowd would have been down a little bit, but we had a pretty good turnout.
I'm trying to remember. I think the original event was on a Friday too, as I recall, but I may reserve the right to be incorrect on that.
I don't remember the day.
I don't remember. It was during the work week, that's for sure. I can't recall exactly, but
so anyway, if you have never attended that, we're gonna do it again next year.
We'll do it again every year.
Yeah, we'll do it again next year.
And you mentioned that we actually had several firefighters who responded, and I don't expect you to remember everybody's names because I realize some of those guys retired. But Bill Hollander read all of those names mm-hmm. of Barnesville firefighters that responded, and it was very indicative of the scope of the response to that. I remember watching it on TV and being fascinated by all of the different emergency services personnel that showed up, and every time we have this memorial, it reminds me of those pictures and that response. So,
yeah, we had an outdoor classroom deal going on at Center Park that Dewey puts it on and invites all the emergency services, and I was one of the crews that was out there at that outdoor classroom that morning. And one of the groups came through and said, "Hey, did you hear they blew the Murrah building up in Oklahoma City?" And, no, we didn't know anything about it. Well, because we're kind of out of service and did not realize the magnitude of it until we got back to the station later that morning. It was pretty terrible.
Yeah, it certainly was. So, but thank you, and thank you to your honor guard and your firefighters for honoring that. For the service that you guys provide. And this time of year, other than this particular memory, we also have wildfires that we have to spend an awful lot of time with. Yep. And you and I spoke this morning, you said it actually been a pretty good year this year for you at least.
Yeah.
Maybe not for volunteer departments, but for our department.
Yeah, we have a couple brush trucks in town. We have mutual aid agreements with all the neighboring volunteer departments, and there's several of them. We have Washington County, Osage Hills, Copan, Dewey, Airport, Road Support, and those guys do a really good job on wildfires, and they take care of a lot of that. Now we've had a few that we've had to respond along with them, but actually it's there may be some volunteer departments that may disagree with me, but I think the ranchers actually did a pretty good job this year. I mean, we haven't had a lot of problems. Our department hasn't with that this year. Now, maybe some of the other departments up north and around may have, but there's been a lot of smoke in the sky, so they've been burning off, but it hasn't really affected us like it has in the past sometimes, So you'd have thought with all the high winds and that we'd had a little more trouble with that, but it's really been pretty, hadn't been too bad for our department.
I'd have to look at the numbers to make sure, but I think we've had a little bit more spring rain, which at least has kept some of the vegetation from being as dry as maybe it could have been.
Explosive.
Yeah, absolutely. That helps a lot. It hinders us when we have to get out in the fields of fire because you can't hardly, it's just almost impossible to get out without getting stuck. But the ranchers I think they did a fairly good job this year. As far as keeping it under control, we didn't have much of a problem actually.
And so, Chief, we're not under the what is that term? Is it the red flag and all those things where you're not allowed to burn? The ranchers, I think a majority of the burning is probably done. But for a citizen who sees a fire, they see a grass fire. What should they do? Is this something that they should call dispatch? How should they handle a response to that?
Yeah, if you see a fire, any kind of smoke, you can always call dispatch. They can call it in. They probably already know about it if it's wildland fire.
It's big, yeah.
And we didn't do it this year, but a lot of times when the ranchers are burning, we're having a lot of trouble, we will actually, tell dispatch, ask the question when they call that alarm, is this on your property? Is it affecting a structure? A lot of times if they say, "Oh no, I'm just driving down the road and see smoke," a lot of times they won't respond the fire department to that because it's probably a controlled burn.
And that's not a bad thing, but for a citizen who sees that, it's okay to go ahead and call
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially as you said, if they see a structure that's threatened, mm-hmm. Which typically when a rancher is burning, the responsible ones, which we like to believe they all are, but not all of them are, but the vast majority are responsible, they'll let us know when they're burning.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we have pretty good, real good communication really with the ranchers around. Most of them will call, let us know, if they're going to be burning and stuff, if they're close proximity to the city, So we have that relationship with them and they do a pretty good job. Every once in a while it gets away from them, but we had a good spring actually this year on burn season. We was pretty fortunate.
Yeah, I was pleased that I didn't hear a lot of sirens running on Sunday because the winds were out of control and it would have been pretty scary to go fight grass fires that day.
Fortunately, I think it's almost too green to burn now.
Yeah, may have missed it.
It's really greened up in a hurry. So, we'll hold our breath here. Hopefully we've gotten through the worst of it.
Yeah, I would agree. So, all right, well, I appreciate that, Chief, and I appreciate you coming in and joining us today. And Charlie, I also have Terry Lauritsen here with me, and Terry is the Water and Wastewater Utilities Director, but Terry is also the former Engineering Director for the City of Bartlesville. And when the citizens approved the GO bond, was that 2 years ago now?
Golly. It was last year.
Was it last year?
It was just last year.
It was just this past fall. Okay. When the citizens approved that, we had a lot of GO bonds that were going to be issued in a short period of time. In fact, probably more than we've ever issued, to at least to the four of our knowledge sitting in here at any given time. So we had a lot of money and a lot of projects, and we wanted to get those moving as quickly as possible. So Terry got called back out of the bullpen, and he saddled up, and he's kind of working for engineering again on some of these projects. And he took over one of the projects that is particularly prominent in our community, in the Tower Center. He's handling the design, or handling the construction of that. Lisa Beeman actually worked with him, and Lisa handled more of the aesthetic and the design side of it. And Terry is a concrete and dirt kind of guy. So he's we're now into his world. It's time to actually start doing things. So, but the two of them partnered on it, and now we're actually moving very close into the construction phase. And it's been quite a process, and there have been a lot of citizens involved and a lot of public input and quite a design process. But we're now getting close. So I wanted Terry to take a moment here and give everybody an update on where we are and what they expect to see next.
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, it has really been a concerted effort to involve the public. There's been a lot of meetings, public meetings, and public inputs sought for the project. It really started in December of last year when the council formed the design committee, so they call it the Tower Green Design Review Committee. And so they had a series of meetings even prior to that into last summer. And so they had a group from the Taliesin students come in, which is a school of architecture, that came in and did some sketching and some charrettes, I think it's called. So
charrettes.
And
all learned a new word.
That is, yes. So it's really been a fun experience as far as a lot of involvement, a lot of great ideas out there. We finally have gotten some design set forth, and council's approved that a couple weeks ago. Last Monday, council approved a construction contract with Jones Plan, who's going to act as the general contractor for the project. So they're going to start advertising for the various components of the project this week. And so here in about a month, we'll get bids back on the various components of it, and we'll have to take those to council for an award. So hopefully we're shooting to get actual work or construction done on the Tower Center project either in late May or potentially early June. We're still targeting the October 31st date to have it substantially complete, which means that all the components will be in, will be usable, but there will still be some touch-ups and some cleanup type things left to finalize the project. But we're hopeful of a mild summer and a mild fall to facilitate this schedule.
We're
so hopeful. It's a 5-month process as far as the timing that we have from whence we anticipate construction to begin. And 5 months is really kind of a perfect scenario as far as no delays with materials or a contractor or any kind of weather that would be unexpected. So if all those things hold true, then we should have it substantially complete by the October 31st date. If we do experience some of those issues, then that will likely be delayed beyond that.
And so we intend to have it open to the public, hopefully, by the end of October. And as you've said, there's definitely some uncertainty to that based on weather and other potential delays, but the intent is to have it in the fall, have it open to the public. The Community Center and the Price Tower Arts Center are actually going to operate the Tower Center and maintain it. And they will be the ones that schedule the events and things of that nature. And at this point in time, I'm not aware that they have any events planned. I think there's too much uncertainty, but we all look forward to the having the park open and having those types of events in there. And so, Terry, talk about the amenities that we have in the park. I know there were certain things that as this was being planned at the GO bond, of course, as we go through a process to decide what to put in a general obligation bond, Our designs are, we don't pay for design at that point. So really, it's very, very rough. But there were certain elements that we had always intended to include in the park. And can you talk about what those were and which ones made it in and maybe if something didn't make it in?
Yeah, it's the original concept was to have a stage, a cover stage, to renovate the fountain. And then just have a variety of green space amenities, so landscape and grass and kind of combinations of those to really facilitate this kind of a serene environment between the Price Tower and the community center. And so that was the concept that we went to the voters with, and they approved it. And then through the process of all the public input sessions and the Taliesin group coming in, one of the things that really came out of that is that we needed to include a permanent restroom as well as a storage facility that would be adjacent to the stage. And so those things have a cost to it. And so we went through the process and went through the design and some estimating on what those amenities would cost. And so we're roughly about $200,000 to $300,000 over what we had originally budgeted for the project. And it's really tied to the additions of the bathroom and the storage space adjacent to the stage. So we've been pursuing some grants to pay for those amenities. We'll still get budget pricing or bid pricing on those just to know exactly what those will cost. And so we're hopeful if everything kind of comes together here in the next month or so that we'll be able to include the stage and the bathroom within the improvements that are constructed through there. We'll still have the stage and the canopy and renovations to the fountain and all the green space elements that were discussed and promised to the voters. So we're just hopeful that the grant or potential multiple grants can happen within the time frame that we're looking at to include at least the bathroom and the storage space. And we'll kind of see here in the next 30 to 45 days how that all shapes up as far as the additional revenue for it. And well, it's to be continued, I guess.
To be continued. We've had a lot of that with this project. But the so essentially everything that was envisioned at the time that the general obligation bond was passed, the covered stage, the renovation of the fountain, the green spaces, the landscaping. There was also a plan that even though we're eliminating the street and we're eliminating some of the parking in that area, the intent actually was to add parking to that immediate area. So is that still part of what this design will be?
It is. So the actual parking for the space in the community center will increase by about 60 plus spaces, give or take a few. So they're going to add some parking there in the community center parking lot. They'll add some street parking on the roads adjacent to it. So Dewey, Osage, we'll get some additional street parking. So parking should be better than what it was prior to this project, which was one of the things we did promise to the voters.
Yep.
They're also including provisions for a food truck area. So that will be within this new parking space that's going to be built within the community center parking lot. So that will help kind of facilitate or keep that food truck. I think it's Food Truck Mondays, I think. Is the day
that
they?
I don't remember.
And I'm not exactly sure, but
the day. But yeah,
it will accommodate that type of event to continue, as well as other events that may need food trucks or those types of facilities with an event there at the park. So it's everything is really shaping up as we've promised the voters, and so we're just now getting into the details as far as how much it's going to cost and the timing of it to get it all put together here by the end of October.
And so what should people expect to see next? So there's you're currently working on a drainage project right now. So there's actually a very large hole just to the north of the Price Tower Arts Center in that the north and east right on that alley. And that's part of the drainage project, which actually the drainage project will continue to the south and it will be completed before or during some of the demolition of that area. So we'll be doing that, and then the next thing other than the drainage project, people will expect to see a demolition to start, and about when do we expect that will start, assuming that bids and weather cooperate?
Well, the demolition will start in either late May, early June, so the concept will be to remove the street. There is some amenities within the space south of Silas Street, between Silas and the CUNY Center that have some planters, some sidewalk, and some benches through there, and that will all be removed. to facilitate the new space. So the first phase will be the demolition and then the fountain work. So that's what we're looking to target first. And then once those are finished, then they'll start working on all the amenities that go within the park through there. So as you mentioned, there's already construction ongoing there. There's actually two projects that are in that area. So the first one was the drainage, which was approved by voters back in 2013 to improve the drainage through the area. So we're doing that currently to kind of get out of the way for the Tower Center project. So we should have our stuff finished here by the end of June, and that will kind of make way for the Tower Center and all the improvements that will go with that.
Appreciate your work and Lisa's work, and I know that there has been a dedicated committee, and Scott Ambler has actually, his firm has provided their services pro bono, and so there have been a lot of people involved in this, and I think everyone really is excited about it. I don't remember the last time we were involved in a project like this that there was this much public interest in it. So we talk about it a lot, Charlie, but it's because it seems that this is something that people are very interested in.
Well, just my guesstimation, but I think really we're talking about something on the magnitude of building the community center as far as public interest on it. You know,
I think that's a good comparison, Charlie. Yeah. I really do. So, all right. Well, thank you, Terry. And I've got Jason Munninger here with me, Charlie, and Jason is the city's finance director and city clerk and several other things.
All kinds of other things.
We're here. The chief is squishing bugs, Charlie. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. We had a moment of dead air there. It was because the chief's squishing ants in front of me.
I don't know why it happens, but we get ants that invade the studio for about a week in the spring.
I thought the chief brought them in. You mean those are yours? Well, those are your ants?
We'll claim half of them anyway.
All right. Sorry, got distracted there. Jason, how's sales tax doing? We got about 2 minutes to cover.
Performed pretty well this month. Wasn't quite the increase we've seen in past months, but it was still an increase, which is always positive.
Especially we'd had some recent history that had gone the other way,
yes,
so we're thankful for it.
Correct. So overall collection was up just a little over 0.5%. Not a whole lot. That equates to about $8,500 from this time last year. And we factor in our reserve for the Silver Lake Shopping Center that actually increases due to the amount we had to rebate last year versus this year. We're just a little under 1% up for the month, which is about $13,000.
So good. We're still on track. We're still close to where we had budgeted. How are we doing for the fiscal year as a whole?
Fiscal year as a whole, we're up counting the rebate.
Yeah.
The rebate side, just a little under
2.5%. So a little under 2.5%, which certainly is better than the trend that we've seen in the last few years, Charlie. It's not as good, unfortunately, as we're seeing in other places in the state. Bartlesville is lagging that still a little bit. We're not sure what it is. We built some new retail. We really have done everything that we could there. But I think municipalities across the state have grown. I think it was close to 6% the last that I saw. But I think a large part of that is being driven both by Tulsa and Oklahoma City after talking to their mm-hmm. treasurers last week. I think that they're driving a big part of that. And I think we're probably fairly normal as far as cities of our size. We tend to compare ourselves to Ponca and Muskogee and cities like that, more of a micropolitan
cities that are not contiguous to
That's
a major
right.
metropolitan
exactly.
area.
Exactly.
That's right. And we're certainly fairly rare in the way that we're set up. Jason, you talked a little bit about the rebate of the sales tax. Just briefly, if you could, explain what that is for anybody who hasn't listened to us the last several months.
Well, we have to set up a reserve for that Silver Lake Shopping Center to ensure that its debt service will be covered when it comes time for repayment on the infrastructure that we helped rebate for that center to go in.
So there was a TIF district set up over that shopping center, and part of the financing package was we agreed to set aside a certain amount of all of the sales tax that was generated in that
yes.
site, and we set that aside, and it, assuming everything goes as planned, the city will get that back at the end of the debt service. But, mm-hmm. It's essentially there as security for the banks, but we're thankful to have that center. It certainly has improved our retail.
It's been performing well.
Yeah, they've really been doing well. So, Well, Charlie, I believe that is that's everything that we had to cover today. So, as always, we appreciate you, and we appreciate you hosting us. And I don't know what we're going to do now. I see now I'm kind of teary-eyed again, Charlie. I'm not sure what to do without you.
Well, it's just we'll say it's time for news then. Thank you very much.
Thank
all right,
you, Charlie.
That City Matters on this Monday morning. For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.